If I'd been a betting man, I'd have lost my money this morning. I didn't think half of y'all would be here. But I appreciate you coming and being here to be a part of this day. I know that you are up to your ears with Christmas. So I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 2. And we're going to look at something that happened after Christmas. How about that? Matthew chapter 2, beginning in the first verse. I'm going to read to you 12 verses of Scripture from the vantage point of title, When People Seek Jesus. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes and people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men to him, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also.' When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen and followed all that time, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their gifts, their treasures, they presented gifts to him of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country in another way." And the people said,
"Amen."
You may be seated. Thank you for standing in honor to read God's word. When people seek Jesus, I want you to let that kind of resonate in your mind for a second. When people, that's us, when humanity, when people, men and women, male and female, when people seek Jesus. I want to approach this sermon this morning with a guarantee for you. You know, you get all kinds of guarantees, can't you? You get phone calls with guarantees. I sent Bob a text the other day, and I hope none of you intercepted that text. I told him, "Bob, it turns out that I will not be there Sunday, nor will I ever be back again." Because you see, I had received a guarantee, now a guarantee on the fax here at the church. I came down and it was on the fax machine that Arthur Cooksey, whoever he is, had died in Canada intestate. He had no will. And that they had finally found another Cooksey, me, and were going to leave me $14 million. I told Bob I won't be back. I'm going to drop by the bank, pay the note off at the church, and I'm gone. Guaranteed, it said. Even had a seal on it. That ain't going to happen. I want to give you a guarantee today. I want to give you something, if you will, that you can take to the bank. I want to give you a guarantee in this sermon. If you, all of us, me included, if you will love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul, and if you will set your mind on seeking those things that are above, if you'll set your mind on seeking the Lord Jesus Christ with all of your heart and all of your soul, your life, my life, your life will be forever changed.
Amen.
And completely enhanced by the Holy Spirit of the living God who will occupy you if you'll allow it. So if you seek Christ, if you're among those people who seek the Lord Jesus Christ, I'll guarantee you that you'll have some beautiful, wonderful things happen in your life. So with that guarantee in mind, I've posited to you and told you about it. It's a guarantee you can count on, you can carry to the bank. With that guarantee in mind, I want us to consider what's required. What's required of, and what's the outcome if people seek Jesus? What happens in the life of people when people seek the Lord Jesus Christ? The first thing I wanted you to know, and I may be opinionated in some of this may be Cooksey theology. I'll identify that at the beginning. It may or may not be the way you believe, and that's fine. You don't have to believe, you don't have to be right. That's okay. But I'm going to say some things to you that are probably from my heart, but I want to pass them along to you and let you kind of weigh them and see what you think. I promise you that what I want to pass along to you in this message, when people seek Jesus, I will take from Scripture. I will take the Scripture that I believe we need to hear and we need to understand. So let's understand some things about when people seek Jesus. The very first thing we'll discover, if you're going to decide in your life, I'm going to seek Jesus, faithfulness will have to be a part of who you are. Now, let's talk about that for a minute. People say, well, I'm going to serve God. And that's about all they do. And they never get anything and never get anywhere. But I want you to understand that if you're going to be one of those people that seek after Jesus, faithfulness will be required. And listen to this word, it will have to be unwavering faithfulness. In other words, you'll put your shoulder to the wheel and you'll push. And even when it's not fun, even when it hurts, even when it's a valley, Luann, you go through a difficult time, if you go through that time, you still got to push. You got to remain faithful to the Lord to see the faithfulness of the Lord. You follow? So this is not all gee whiz and hallelujah, Joel. You got to put your shoulder to the wheel and keep your faithfulness in God. You got to walk along with him and be sure that you're keeping that faithfulness. Faithfulness is required and that unworthy. This journey that this group of men, I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about, was it 300? It doesn't matter. This group of men that went to Jerusalem, came from the east, went to the city of Jerusalem and eventually to Bethlehem. And in this story, there are multiple, time and time again, there are demonstrations of what faithfulness looks like. We don't really know how long their journey took. There are some scholars, I'm not one, but there are some scholars who say it might have taken the better part of 2 years for them to get from wherever they were to Jerusalem. And then the trip from Jerusalem to Bethlehem, they could probably make in a day's time, but it might have been as much as 2 years from when their journey started. We don't know how much time it took. We don't know the time frame. Matthew tells us some interesting things. Matthew tells us that sometime after Jesus was born. So he's not a baby in the manger when the wise men get there. He's not a baby in the manger when the magi arrive. He's not in a manger when the wise men get there. Matthew says sometime after Jesus was born. Maybe he was 2, maybe he's 3, maybe he's 4, maybe we don't know. We don't know the time frame. But Matthew tells us that it was after Jesus was born that these men arrive in Jerusalem. Can you imagine that trip? I told Bob this morning, I get in a lot of trouble, and you know this. I get in a lot of trouble with my imagination when it comes to Scripture. I want to think about this group of men, 300, however many it was. Can you imagine the talk of the town? Here's three guys, or 300, who have decided they're going to go to a place they don't even know about. Can you imagine that trip? Nights spent following a star. Those of you who know me know that I'm somewhat of a stargazer. I was going to invest in a high-powered telescope, but I've got Google Earth sky. You can see everything up there that you never could see before. I'm a stargazer. Can you imagine these guys leave wherever they came from in the east, and they're headed to Jerusalem, and they're following a star to get there? Their guide is not GPS. Their guide is not Google Maps putting the destination and follow the route. They have nobody whispering to them, here's how to turn and here's where to go. They have no voice that can adjust whether they have a male voice or a female voice. They just got to follow a star. And they're following after the star, going to, watch this, an unknown destination. You ever been somewhere you've never been before? A lot of times I go to places it's hard nowadays, but sometimes I go, Brother Cliff, to a cemetery I've never been to before. I'm going to go there to do a service, and a lot of times I'll go ahead and go kind of spot, you know, kind of see where it is and how to get in, how to get out, because I want to get out quick. And so I survey it. Here's a group of men, 200, 300, however many it is, going to an unknown destination. Perhaps resting in the day and traveling at night. This is my imagination now, conjecture on my part. traveling at night because they've got to follow this star that's going to lead them to someplace they've never been before. Now, there's a lot of scholars, again, I'm not one, but a lot of scholars get off into the composition of that star. This sermon is not about that. You see, here's what I think about faithfulness. I think if you're faithful to God, the composition doesn't matter. I think if you're faithful to God, it doesn't matter if it was a burning star, it doesn't matter if it was a comet, it doesn't matter if it was Halley's Comet coming through on one of its early trips, it doesn't matter. If you follow after Christ, if you seek Jesus, you have to have faithfulness. And I want to tell you, faithfulness doesn't need a detailed description. I don't need to know what the road is going to look like, what's going to be higher, what's going to be lower, what's going to be muddy, what's going to be dry. I don't need to know that if I'm faithful to the Lord. Because I'm putting my trust in Him that I can follow after the Lord Jesus Christ. So faithfulness does not depend upon some definition of what things look like. Here, a group of men following a star, going to a place they've never been before, faithful to God. Faithfulness. When you're faithful to God, watch this. When you're faithful to God, some things just come natural. You don't need somebody to explain something to you and say, 1, 2, 3, 4, here's how this goes. You just put your trust in that one that you're seeking. So these men, seeking after Jesus, put their faith in Him. They're very faithful in their journey, and their faithfulness trusts God all along the way, and He gives them, God gives them Himself to lead them and guide them, and they say, God is God. Faithfulness just says, God is God, I'm satisfied. I had that conversation earlier this morning. God is God, and I'm satisfied. And as they say in the country, that's enough said for me, that God is God. My faithfulness leads me just to believe Him. And as I suggested earlier, this kind of faithfulness that we're talking about, that you need if you're going to seek after Jesus, this kind of faithfulness is regular, without fail. It doesn't grow weary in the pursuit of Jesus. Sometimes we get weary, don't we? Y'all looking at me all spiritual like it don't happen to you. Sometimes we get weary, don't we? I do. There's times I'm weary. There's times I'm weary of Baptist. That means I'm weary with you sometimes. We all get weary. But in that weariness, I never take my eyes off the Lord. I try my best not to. Here's a group of men pursuing Jesus, not growing weary, traveling by night, sleeping in the daytime, following a star of all things, and no matter the circumstances or the situation, they just remain faithful and stay on course. That's what you got to do. If you're going to seek after Christ, you have to remain faithful and stay on course. Your faithfulness matters in the pursuit of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come what may, those faithful people who remain, who stay in there, in their faith, get to see God do miraculous things in their life. Those who seek Jesus are faithful, undying faithfully. Those who seek Jesus might have to believe the unbelievable. Now here's where we're going to get off on a plank out here. Don't saw it off on me. But you got to believe. Sometimes in this journey of faith, you just got to believe. And you go, man, I don't know how that can be. Don't say that. We serve a God who is the God of the universe, who knows everything that has happened, is happening, or will happen. If we trust Him and put all of our confidence in Him, you might have to believe the unbelievable. Amen. I want you to understand something this morning. Something that I believe most of you will agree with, I hope. If you don't, that's okay. If not, I want you to consider something. Our God. Say that, God. Say God.
God.
That God. The one God. Our God. Watch this with me. I don't want to mess it up. Let me look at my notes. God is not bound by time and space. He's not bound by just this. He is God, and He is God of all things. He's the God of the natural and the unnatural. He has no limits whatsoever, whenever, however. God can do what God chooses to do with anything He chooses to do it with, because He's God. So here we have a group of men probably riding camelback. Isaiah talked about it. We just don't have time to go there. Micah did too. We don't have time to go there this morning, but here they are, probably riding on a camel. You ever ridden a camel, Terry? Bob and I rode camels. Bob rode a camel with a lady over in Israel, and I did the same thing. I rode a camel, and me and Micah rode a camel together, and the camel almost couldn't get up. But it wasn't because of Micah. These guys are riding. You ain't never had an uncomfortable ride till you ride a camel. I went this last time. I didn't ride a camel. I'd have had my turn. So these guys are riding on camels. Not the most comfortable ride you'll ever have. Not like going down and buying one of these Cadillacs that Clint's got. It's not like going to get one of those nice Jeeps out there. It is riding rough. So here we have this group of men who leave the comfort of their home to follow a star, to get to a place they don't even know where it is, they don't know what it's called, to get to a place where they think they'll see Jesus, following a star. Can you imagine the conversations down at the Texan, or the Whataburger, or McDonald's? There's groups of people that meet at those places every day of their life. I don't know if it's the Texan anymore, but they used to. Can you imagine the conversation there? Hey, did y'all hear about, and they named them. Somebody tried to name them. I don't know if they got it right or not. Did you hear about those fools? They left town looking up at the sky at a star. And somebody said, where y'all going? We're going to see the king. Well, he ain't up there. He's down there. But we got to follow the star. Can you imagine the conversation? Let me tell you something. The conversation will get hot about you if you decide you're going to follow Jesus. There'll be some folks have some things say to be about you that you never thought of. They'll say, I still run into people today, 50 years removed and being surrendered to ministry and being preaching all those years. I still have people run to me and say, you're doing what? And then they want to say, how'd that happen? And all I can do is point to Jesus. So here's a group of men, left the comfort of their home, left their homeland, following a star to get to Jesus. And I know the conversation had to be unbelievable. But that's what they did. Well, how do you know? That's what the Bible says. They followed a star. They had to believe in the unbelievable. We ever seen that before? Noah had to believe in the unbelievable. See, Noah had never seen a boat, nor had it ever rained. And God said to him, it's going to come a flood. What's a flood? Doesn't matter. God said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to build a boat. I want you to build it this way. I went to Kentucky, Vicki and I did back a few months ago, and it's amazing there. Some of you have been there to go and see that ark. Now, we don't know what happened on the inside of the ark. We know the dimensions of this boat. I've always wondered if there was a property owners association in Noah's neighborhood. I mean, 120 years, this guy's got a boat, whatever boat he is, on blocks out there building it. There's no lakes around. There hadn't been enough rain on the earth to fill a lake, so there's no lakes. He had to trust God for those things that were just hard to believe. Sometimes you got to believe the unbelievable. I think about others in the Bible. I don't have time. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know them. Three little Hebrew boys that said, no, sir, we're not going to worship your God. We're going to stand here like sore thumbs and stand out for the rest of the world to see. We're not falling down at your God. We're not doing it. The king said, I'm mad at them boys. Heat that furnace up 7 times hotter than it's ever been before. So if it ran 300, now it's running 2100. It's hot. They put them in the furnace. And when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego look back at these guys that are now dead because it was too hot for them to take them up there. And they made this bold statement. They said, if our God is God and he is God, we're going to trust him and he can deliver us. Because sometimes you got to believe in the unbelievable. There's one more that comes to my mind. Have you ever thought about Gideon? I think about Gideon all the time. God narrows his army down to 300. He started out with 30,000, cuts him down to 300 people, and then tells him, don't take your AR-15 with you, Gideon. Leave them multi-shooting guns and them big clips at the house. I want you to get everybody a pitcher and a torch and get them a trumpet. And I want you to take that trumpet and those pitchers and that torch and put that torch up inside that pitcher. And at the anointed time, when I tell you to break that pitcher, the light will glare out and you'll defeat that army. Guess what happened? Happened just like God said. Sometimes you got to believe the unbelievable in this journey of faith, in this journey of seeking after the Lord Jesus Christ. I run into it today. I run into people in their health. I run into people in their life and they've got to trust the unbelievable. God says, do it. I think about Peter. Think about Peter. Peter sees Jesus walking on the water, and Peter just said, well, if it's you and you're really doing that, why can't I come to you? Remember that? You see old Peter. He gets up the edge of that boat. I mean, he's got to believe the unbelievable. Before he puts his foot down, rests it on top of that water, and moves us from solid boat, he's got to trust the unbelievable. Sometimes in our quest for Christ, we got to realize that God is God and he can do anything he wants to, whenever he wants to, whatever he wants to do it with. We just got to trust him that he will. Now, I'm not encouraging you to go out here and lay down in this highway. If you do that, I'll be busy with a funeral next week, and I really don't want to do one. But sometimes you have to trust God with things that you just can't hardly believe. While seeking Jesus, these men followed a star. They were very faithful in their journey, and they trusted God because God had said, go there. Then I want you to see this with me. People who seek Jesus, those who say, I am going all out, all in, I'm going to seek the Lord Jesus Christ. People who seek Jesus will rejoice at the opportunity to worship him. Now, stay with me here. Some of y'all ain't worshiped in a while. Some of y'all remind me of a Baptist that had a drink of vinegar before you got here. Sarah, some of that stuff me and you drink. Sarah and I drink together. Some stuff that's good for cramps. If you want to know about that later, you can email me, text me. Some of you will anyway. I'll tell you about it. Some of you luck out a dose of that before you got here. If you seek Jesus, you'll be excited about the opportunity to worship him. Our text tells us that these wise men arrive in Jerusalem and they are summoned to Herod's presence. Herod was a nut, best way I can describe it in the country. He was a nut job. He was a mess. We don't have time to study him right now, but just trust me, he's a mess. He had his children killed because he's afraid they'd take his spot. That's the man we're talking about. Here's the man that said, let's just kill all the babies and I'll be sure to get that one. He's a nut. These wise men get in the presence of the king. The king says, listen, I know what you're doing. You're looking for Jesus. And they say, well, do you know where he is? And the king gathers all the religious leaders and the high priest of the town. And they say, where's this Christ dude, this king, this Messiah? Where is he going to be born? Or where was he born? And they put their heads together and they come back. And Matthew records the prophecy. They come back and say, well, King, he's in the town of Bethlehem. That's where he was born. So the high priest and those religious leaders tell the king that it's Bethlehem, and the king tries to proffer a deal. The devil will always try to make a deal. You got that? The devil will always, if you decide today, I'm going to seek Jesus. I'm going to be one of those people. I'm going to be faithful in my seeking after him. I'm going to believe things that are unbelievable. I'm going to follow the Lord. Trust me, Satan will be on your tail this afternoon. You say, y'all not say that from the pulpit. He will be on your tail this afternoon. All hell will break loose in your life. Because see, that's how Satan works. So the high priest says over there in Bethlehem, and the king tries to proffer this deal with them. And parenthetically, that's just how Satan works. That's what he does. People seek Jesus. Satan gets a little antsy. You know what the word antsy means? He's nervous. He's losing somebody, and he wants to get in the way and get in the path. But I want you to know what these men do. They learn from the high priest and the religious leaders and the king that Jesus is in Bethlehem. And verse 10 says, so here's my imagination. They come out of meeting with the king and all these uppity-ups, and now they know that Jesus is in some place called Bethlehem. Remember, they didn't know where they were going in the first place. And so when they go, they come out of the building, they come out of wherever they are, meeting with the king, and immediately they see that star. Look what verse 10 says. When they saw the star, they were rejoiced with exceeding great joy. I want to tell you something. Last night, I was sitting at home watching something on TV, and I was overcome with an exceeding joy. And my joy was, I was going to get to meet with 15 or 20 of y'all this morning and have church. You have blessed my heart. There's more than that here. I just get excited about church. They say, well, you're the preacher. We pay you. No, no, listen, let all that aside. Let alone that I'm the pastor and this is how I make my living. I submit to you that those who will seek after the Lord Jesus Christ get an excitement in their heart about a time when they can worship him. Those men came out of that meeting with King, looked up, saw the star, and just seeing the star was enough to cast them into a spell of worship. Some of y'all ain't ever had one of those, a spell of worship. I look forward to this moment. That's how it works. When one seeks after Jesus, when you decide to be one of those people that seeks after the Lord, I'll assure you that you will have this deep desire to worship and to follow after the Lord Jesus Christ. I think about people in this very congregation who have to make great efforts to get to church to worship the Lord. These guys come out of that meeting, they see the star and rejoice, the Bible says, because they knew that soon they would see him. Now remember, we don't know how long the journey had been. We don't really know how long they stayed in Jerusalem once they got there. They had to call together the meeting of everybody. They had to come together and decide where he was, and then they had to pass the word along. So we don't know how long that meeting took, but they go there, and as they come out of that meeting, they see the star, and they immediately begin to worship God just at the thought of getting to see him. That's how it works. If you seek Jesus, you do like those men, you see the star, and down deep inside, you want to worship him. Now, I want to give you another guarantee. I started with one. I'm not quite finished yet, but I want to give you another guarantee. I guarantee you, people who seek Jesus will find him. You follow? You will find him. Look at verse 11a, the first little sentence there. And when they had come into the house, so they come out of the meeting, see the star, worship, praise God, follow that star, they go over to Bethlehem, and they see the star resting over a house, and they go into that house, and when they go into that house, the Bible says, they go into that house, and they saw the young child with Mary, his mother. So these men, follow me here, these men who had followed a star from who knows where and had walked along all the way following after this star, wind up in the city of Bethlehem, the town, a little hamlet, a little small place, wind up in Bethlehem. Can you imagine the moment when they finally see Jesus? That was their whole quest for how long, 2 years, 3 years, how long it was. And finally they get to the place and there's Jesus, the one they'd been seeking. Can you imagine that moment? The one they have been seeking all along, the one that they followed the star to find. They come into the house and there he is, along with his mother Mary. And they behold him right there, right before them. The one that they had been seeking all along. Friends, listen. We have a day ahead of us. Amen. Those of us who seek Christ. We have a day ahead of us where we shall behold him.
Amen.
We will see the one I've been preaching about for 50 years. We will see the one that we've trusted our entire life. There's a day coming in the future, and as I said at the beginning, we're one day closer to that now. I guarantee you, if you follow after the Lord Jesus Christ, there's a day ahead of us like that day in the life of these seekers who sought after Jesus and found him in a house. You and I will someday get to see him. A day will come when we too will see the one that we have sought after all these years. See, I haven't embraced Jesus like I embrace you. I haven't felt his arms around mine physically, felt them spiritually a lot of times. I felt them around my chin time to pick me up and set me on the right path. But then I'll see him. I thought of that old song Vestal Goodman used to sing, "We Shall Behold Him." I'd sing it if Vestal would come out of her grave. We'll have a day in our life in the future. Faithfully seek him. Be willing to believe the unbelievable Be willing just to trust God at what God says. And the day will come when we get to see him. A day we shall see the one we've sought after, Jesus. We'll behold him. Now, that'd be a good place to get off, Travis and Bob. If you're studying this preaching thing, it'd be a good place to quit. I can't help myself. I got one more thing to say. Note this. When they saw him, the Bible says. So now, they've been rejoicing from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. I mean, they probably skipped. I'd skip if I could, but I can't. They probably skipped all the way. I mean, they were excited. They're coming from Jerusalem out to Bethlehem, 6-8 miles to get out there. They've been overjoyed. The Bible says they were rejoicing. And when they get there, they're rejoicing. When they see Jesus, the Bible says they fell down. Now, I think that's what happened. I think they walked in standing upright, and all of a sudden they realized the one they'd been seeking was right before them, and they fell down. And when they fell down, they didn't just wallow in the falling. They didn't say, oh boy, that hurt. They worshiped him from that position of prostrate, being on the ground, lifting up and worshiping the name of Jesus. By giving him their praise, they gave their very best to Jesus. They fell down and worshiped him. And I want you to notice something. Kind of introduce the sermon for next Sunday. I want you to notice that giving was incorporated in their worship. They brought the most expensive gifts imaginable to Jesus. A baby, a child, a young child. They bought gold and frankincense and myrrh. We won't go into the value of that. Was expensive stuff. They were moved by the satisfaction of finding him and worshiping him to give gifts to him. For here we are on the brink of 2025. I didn't ever think I'd see this year, to tell you the truth. I remember when I thought that the 2000s were in the movies. And here we are, a full quarter of this century gone. 2025. We've seen and have partaken in the riches of the glory of the Lord. We've received a Savior. We've been reconciled to God through his blood, through the blood of Jesus. We know him, and we know all that he has done and all that he has been, that's been promised to us in the Word of God, we've seen come true day and day and day out. We've experienced his hand, haven't we? We've experienced the hand of God. I look at my own life, of where I am today, and the old song holds true for me. I can't count the blessings. I can't count the blessings from the time I got up this morning to now, let alone to go back retroactively to the time that I can remember the blessings of God and begin to count those things up. God has done so much for me. I've experienced his hand as a shepherd. He has provided for my every need in the valley, on the mountaintop. He's provided everything that I've ever needed. I think, in retrospect, just looking back at what Christ has done for me at the cross, let that alone, but all the other things that Christ has done for me in my life and the blessings that God has given me in life, I look at all those things and the things that he has done for me and that have been promised to me in the Word of God that have come true. He has been my shepherd. He has guided me. He has been by my side. And because the one, Jesus Christ, that we seek, has been so good to me, he's due my tithe and my offering. He's due that I would give to him because he has given me everything. All that I have comes from the Father above. Then I want you to notice one more thing. What I believe to be one of the most significant things in the life of those who seek after the Lord Jesus Christ and find him. If you seek him, you'll find him. You'll wind up in that house where Jesus is. You'll wind up in that bar. You'll wind up in that car. You'll wind up in that truck. You'll wind up somewhere where Jesus is, and you'll find him if you seek him. You'll experience his hand as you walk with him. And I want you to notice what I believe to be one of the most significant things in the lives of those who seek after Christ and receive him. There's never been a day, and my wife would agree with me, there's never been a day where we needed the benefit of seeking Jesus more than the day we live in. There's never been a time, I don't think. Those who seek after Jesus, watch this, will be given something called spiritual discernment. You say, how you get there, preacher, from all that you said? Well, look what happened. The Bible tells us that they were seeking after the Lord Jesus Christ. They go in the house, they see him, they fall down and worship him. And Herod had said to them, the devil had said to them, look, when you find out where he is, come back and tell me, I want to worship him. What did the Bible say they did? They realized that Satan was of the devil, that Herod was of Satan and of the devil. And they decided not to go back to him and went to their country another way. How'd they know? Because the Spirit of God told them, don't go back. He doesn't mean to worship, he means harm. Friends, if you follow after the Lord Jesus Christ, you get this spiritual discernment. You get to a place where 1 John 4:1 comes to mind. There it says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. That's where we are. There's a lot of false prophets out there. We live in a day that John was speaking about, I think, in 1 John 4. There's so many evil things in this world. Evil is like wildfire, it seems. And say, well, that's no more different than... Yes, it is. It's more different than when I started out. It's changed. There are things strutting down Main Street today that stayed in the alley when I was a kid. There are things that's come out of the closet. Well, I shouldn't go there. They come out of the closet, and they was in the closet when I was a kid. Things have changed. And the further we go, the more we move, the more advanced we get. AI... The more advanced we get, the more we need Jesus. I think sometimes our nation teeter-totters on the brink of ruin because we're governed by some kind of idea that we ought to be tolerant and accept everything. We need to seek Jesus. And if we seek Jesus, then one of the fruits of the Spirit, if we seek him, and incidentally, Jesus said, if you'll seek me, the Comforter is coming. I will send the Holy Spirit to you. And so if we seek after the Lord now, we get the evidence and the benefit of the Holy Spirit in our life. And one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, take the time sometimes to go back and read Paul's writing, one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is a spiritual discernment. And some people get in a lot of trouble in their life because they have no spiritual discernment about them. And if I read my Bible correctly, if I follow after the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm faithful in my search for him, I will find him, and when I find him, he will bless me with the Holy Spirit and outpouring on my life. No, it doesn't mean I'm going to jump tall buildings in a single bound. It doesn't mean I'm going to speak in a language nobody understands. It means that I'm going to understand the spirits around me and be able to recognize when something's just not right. These old boys that came to see Jesus realized something's just not right. They had spiritual discernment. We need to seek Jesus. And one of the things that will happen if you do and you find him, and you will, you'll have that spiritual discernment about you. Now, the words everybody's been longing for, let me say this in closing. Amen? Okay. I need to start over for some of you. That wasn't nearly as hard as I anticipated. If I could cajole you, if I could beg you to do anything in 2025, so we just got a few days left in 24, right? If I could beg you, cajole you in any way to do something in 2025, I would beg of you. I would plead with you. I would cajole you. I'd do anything I could. I would ask you to seek more of Jesus. Because the more you seek of Jesus, it's amazing what happens. I would encourage you to do like these men. I would encourage you to be faithful in your pursuit. I would encourage you to be willing to believe the unbelievable, because God's going to say, listen, folks, when we felt led to build this building, I got to be honest with you, I was scared out of my pants. We gathered out here in the parking lot. Lonnie Johnson on that committee, and we were gathered out here in this parking lot. We were looking at building a new education building back here. And Lonnie Johnson, of all people, turned and he said, you know, I wonder if we ought to build another sanctuary. I thought, oh, my Lord. Why? We need the seats. See, God could see around the corner. You got to trust God for the unbelievable. And if you seek him and trust him with the unbelievable, I guarantee you, as you seek him, you'll find him. And as you find him, you'll discover an outpouring of the Holy Spirit on your life like you've never experienced before. And if I could cajole you, if I could ask you to do anything in 2025, I would say to you, let's join together and seek after the Lord Jesus Christ. Make the church, not necessarily this church, I'm a little bit partial to this one. I was in the church where Brother Cliff pastored just the other day at a funeral service. I'm not talking just about this church. I'm talking about the church. I'm talking about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I would challenge you in 2025 to do like those wise men. Look for that star and follow it. Commit yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ. Prioritize him in your life. Make his church a matter that matters. Make the church a matter of great importance. With your tithe, with your talent, with your time, with your effort, be sure that you prioritize the Lord Jesus Christ. Apply the biblical truths of this message and the other biblical truths you find in this book to your life. And I guarantee you, the preacher, you've done a lot of guaranteeing this morning. I guarantee you, I stake my ministry. I stake my commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ on it. I stake everything in my life on it. If you will follow after Christ and seek him more and more and more in your life on this day, Lord willing, y'all don't run me off, and I can still keep my mind straight, I'll be standing here a year from now. Amen. Somebody said, well, by then you'll surely retire. You know, we've been searching for a music minister for I don't know how long now, and we've had people send resumes and applications for the senior pastor job. Do I need to know something that I don't know already? I'm planning on being here. And I guarantee you, I promise you, I stake everything that I've said up to this point in my life on this. If you will decide in your heart, I'm going to seek Jesus, I'm going to seek him more in 2025, I promise you on this day in 2025, the last few days of the year, you'll look back on this year and you'll say, it's the greatest year of my life. Amen. Here's something I've discovered and I'm done. I don't know how many people I've talked to in the course of life who are down and out. You know what I'm talking about? Down and out. Life's upside down. Finances are messed up. Marriage is fouled up. Kids are running wild. I mean upside down. And so often I have discovered that those people are on the rolls of the church. But that's all they are. They're just on the rolls. We got a little over 2,600 members. We got some absentees today. Now, I expected that today. But on any given Sunday, we don't have a quarter. We don't have an eighth of the membership. So I guarantee you that if you'll pursue him and make his church a priority, this church, a church, be involved in serving the Lord, make it a priority of your life to seek after him and seek him with all your heart and soul and mind. This day, a year from now, will be a different day. Who would like to join up and seek after Jesus? Father, I love you. I praise you. I thank you for this day. I thank you, God, that I have the opportunity to offer an invitation to this group of people. God forbid that I would come and preach your word and not offer people an opportunity, God, to make changes and decisions in their life. I come before you, God, today among people that I believe many are seeking after you. And at the same time, Lord, I believe there are those who could seek you better. I could, God. I could do more. I can seek you more. I can prioritize you more in my life. And I believe there are others like me. God, there are some in this building that don't know Jesus, and they've never made a public profession of Christ and haven't invited Jesus into their heart. And Lord, they need to be saved. And I lift it before you and pray, God, that today they will make a commitment to Christ and make a commitment to seek after him. Father, there are those in this church, you've said be a part of this church. You said be a part of some church, God. I pray they just obey you. I pray, God, that I can be among a body of people who, like these wise men who came to Jesus, I pray I can be among people that would seek after Christ very faithfully, willing to believe you and trust you no matter, and look to you for all the wonderful things you've done that you will do. Bless this time with your presence, moving the hearts of people. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you stand with me as we stand together? Brother Travis is here. I'm here. Would you come if God leads you?